Welcome to day two of Highlands Postcards on the Finish Line here at the Boston Marathon. And Highlands' motto, stop your cramp, not your race. We're also brought to you by Polar, chase your destiny. My name is Bob Babbitt. Our guest, the honey badger herself, Mary Beth Ellis. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. It's one of the few races I get to chat with you and I'm not racing, so no pressure on me. It's going to be a great day on Monday. I'm looking forward to being out there cheering on you as Elvis and all the other runners.
So have you watched this race before?
No, we just moved out here last May, so this is the first year we've lived out here. I'm so excited to watch it. I can't wait.
Pretty fun, huh?
Yeah, and my husband's sister lives in Newton, so we're going to try to catch the race around her neighborhood as they kind of run through the... That's not the best section for the runners, but it's going to be great to watch.
I usually see Karen Smyers every year somewhere at the top of Heartbreak, somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And Elvis stops for a photo every year with Karen and Mike. So you look for the Elvis in the black Elvis outfit.
I definitely will.
I love it. So, Mary Beth, you went to Northwestern, right? And now, did you run through high school and then into college as well?
In high school, I actually wanted to do other sports. So I did field hockey and lacrosse most of the years. I did a 2 years of track, kind of mixed in there my freshman year and my senior year, and I loved running track. I didn't actually do cross country, though, until I went to Northwestern, and I was swimming there, but they added the cross country team with Title IX, so I got the opportunity to run there for 3 years, and it just brought back everything I loved about running, and then after I finished at Northwestern, I continued to run and did some marathons, and I loved running.
So were you running like on the pro circuit a little bit?
I was competitive. I was still working full time. I was never good enough to make a livable career out of it. But I tried to be competitive.
What type of races?
I ran a 2:41 in the marathon.
Wow, that's a real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could have run a little faster, but I just had a lot of injury issues. I would get ready and run a fast half on my way to race a marathon and come up with an injury, and it was a cycle. I just kept getting injured, and
did that lead to triathlon?
It did. Finally, the last injury, they kind of scared me enough that I decided it was time to move to cross training, and I learned to ride a bike and got back into the pool. I hadn't swam for 8 years probably, and so yeah, it led to triathlon, and I immediately loved triathlon. It was just another challenge that it really renewed my love for the sports.
Did you have success in triathlon right away?
I did. I was pretty lucky having the swim background. I think it gives you a leg up, and then
huge.
Obviously the run background. And the first race I did was Boulder Peak, and it lets a non-biker ride competitively because it has the big hill. So as long as you're athletic, you can get up the hill and then coast down. So half the ride is kind of up and down the hill. So I won the age group race there, and I was pretty close to the top women's pro time, and that's... It sort of just lit the fire, and I decided I was going to try to turn pro.
And how old were you at that point?
I was 29. I was just to turn 29 when I turned pro.
And so, and your degree, what, don't you have an MBA, and then you have another degree too?
Just the master's in marketing.
Master's in marketing, okay. And was it hard to sort of put that on hold and go, I want to be a professional athlete for a while?
It definitely was. I didn't leave. I spent my first year and a half as a pro triathlete still working. I cut back my hours almost immediately and probably in the first 6 to 9 months, and then kept working for a while, and it was really hard. And, you know, as soon as I left my job, I also got injured, so I was questioning everything at that point, but I'm glad I stuck with it, and I had a great group of athletes at that point. I was still training with Siri, and I had good athletes to kind of learn from with Sarah True and Marinda Carfrey and Lauren Groves. So it was a good environment for me to really pick up a lot of insight in the sport relatively quickly.
So when you look back at your career and you look at, I mean, you know, Ironman Austria, 8:43.34, that was pretty spectacular. What do you look at as your best races? Are the ones that maybe meant the most to you?
Yeah, it's funny. With Ironman, some of the worst races were some of the ones where I learned the most about myself. Even my last race in Kona, I was so sick that I shouldn't have gotten out of bed that day, but I knew it was going to be my last Ironman in Kona, and so that one epitomized for me just getting through it. What everyone has to deal with on Ironman is overcoming some obstacle, and for me, that was a great day, but obviously, Austria, my first Ironman, is always special. I didn't know what to expect, and I had a great day. I couldn't have asked for a better day. I really didn't even feel any pain until the last 10K, and then it was like the elephant on my back, the last 10K. But with 10K to go, you could make it.
Yes. So wait, was your first Ironman the year 8:43?
Yes.
So you're like, oh, this is pretty easy.
Exactly.
What's a big deal?
Yeah.
8:43 first time out. Yeah. Boom. People do their whole career and never get near nine. So I'm, you know, at that point you can sort of drop the mic and go.
I should have just retired on that one. Yeah.
So you worked with Siri Lindley. You worked with Brett Sutton. You worked with some of the legendary coaches. What did you learn from those amazing coaches?
I learned so much from each of them, and so many different lessons. With Siri, I learned to believe in myself. She has such an infectious enthusiasm for her athletes, and has such a belief in them that you learn that self-confidence. And then from Brett, I learned really just to that not everybody's the same, and that we all are going to need different programs. And he really individualizes everything for the athletes. And he really taught me that, you know, finding your strengths and working on those. And he helped me get the most out of myself, especially in long course.
When you look at some of the training sessions, and you look at some of the athletes, a Daniela Reif and a Chrissy Wellington, and some of those athletes who had been with Brett, when you saw those athletes, could you tell pretty quickly, oh my God, there's something special here?
Yeah, I actually was able to train with so many amazing athletes. Daniela and Chrissy, after she had left Brett, I trained with her a bit, and Nicola, I mean,
yes.
Jody Swallow, Marini, I trained with, and you learn one thing they all have in common is that they all work really hard along with the talent they have. And, you know, there's no secret to Ironman. It's putting in the work day after day. And, you know, these athletes, you know, they work so hard. And it's a tough sport, but I think that if you put the work in, you do see the results.
So you are how far along?
About 17 and a half weeks, so 4 months.
4 months. Now, was this something you thought, okay, at some point, I want to have a little one?
Yeah, that was our hope. When I decided to retire at the end of the year last year, so after Kona, our goal was to try to start a family. But you just don't know how long it's going to take.
And, right.
You know, with Ironman, you put your body under a lot of stress, so I didn't know how long my body would take to kind of get systems go again.
And how fun has this been?
It's been great, and it's been really even more fun because a lot of my friends right now are pregnant too, so we can share stories and swap, you know, ideas for workouts and commiserate on some of the tough days.
I know before this you were thinking, okay, have the baby, retire, move on, but so many women come back from their pregnancy stronger than they were before, and also you're not dealing with a bowling ball. You feel like, oh, my God, this feels great to go run again.
I can definitely see coming back to competitive sport. I don't know if it'll be Ironman, but maybe triathlon.
Short.
in some respect. Or, I mean, I did my first Spartan race after Kona last year.
Really?
And I loved it. I finished second overall, and I had a blast. It was like being a kid again.
Yes, getting muddy, climbing,
exactly,
over stuff.
I could see doing some mix of triathlon and that just to keep active and healthy, and obviously try to still be elite, but just knowing that I'm not getting any younger.
Well, what's interesting is I always look at this whole world of, at this day and age, we have this endurance entertainment marketplace with running, triathlon, cycling, mountain biking, Spartan race, color run. There's so many great options out there for someone like yourself. Like you said, you played lacrosse, you played so many different sports. This is a pretty cool era, even if you don't race professionally, just to sort of take that salad bar of endurance and do whatever the heck you want on a weekend.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it'd be great to get even more crossover between the different sports from, you know, here where it's just a marathon to Spartan to triathlon. I think they all complement one another.
No question.
You become a more well-rounded athlete, especially mixing in, you know, the triathlon, the biking, and the swimming, I think helps you in both the running and an event like Spartan.
What's interesting, you were one of those gals who had a lot of injuries as a runner, and I remember talking to Gwen Jorgensen not that long ago, and she told me she's running better now than she ran in college, and she's running less because she's using a lot of the cycling and swimming to tune the engine. Looking back now, you were also a swimmer. So did you feel looking back that you were cross-training enough, or would you do it differently now?
No, especially when I left college and I was training myself and then also training with some running coaches. We didn't do any swimming or any cycling. It was all
run.
And, you know, like 100 miles a week on top of a desk job where I was sitting for long periods of time. So you just tighten up the whole front side of your body. And in hindsight, I would definitely do things a lot differently. And just working with Brett, I think he does an amazing job of somebody like Nicola, who had a lot of injuries even through triathlon. He figured out that if she ran every other day, she'd
be fine,
injury free, and she could run as many as three times on that one run day. But then she needed 24 hours off of running, and I just think things like that. And coaches just need to be a little more creative and experiment with their athletes. They don't need to run every day, especially you know, an athlete that has a big aerobic engine.
Right.
It's an easy run isn't going to do anything for them. They could be in the pool or be on the bike and get just as much out of it.
Are you doing some coaching yourself?
I have, actually. I'm really enjoying it so far. I have about 13 athletes, a mix, a couple pros, and then a bunch of age groupers that are just, they're really inspiring to work with. They're balancing so many different things with kids and jobs and family.
When you can be sort of isolated. You're over in, you know, you're training in Switzerland with Brett, and it's all elite athletes, and you don't really see the age group side of it. Getting exposed to that and seeing folks who have full-time job, a couple of kids, all sorts of other, they're in the PTA, they got all sorts of things, and they want to go qualify for Kona.
Yep.
How do you deal with athletes like that? And does it surprise you? Because we think the pros, they are tough, the tougher are tough. But the age group folks sometimes are doing more miles and they're trying to balance so much.
I think it's a lot tougher to be an age grouper. I mean, as a pro, you do your sessions, and then you lay down in bed for a couple hours.
So yes.
As an age grouper, you do your sessions, and either you have to go to work, or if it's the weekend, you have to you know, make time for the family. And it's a lot to balance, and I think that prioritizing recovery in there and doing less is more, I think, with most of the age groupers. I think a lot of them...
they burn out,
right? Yeah, and they really... they don't need to be doing the same workouts that the pros are doing. You know, just making sure they're getting the rest in there and not burning themselves out physically and mentally.
So once you this will be your first time watching Boston?
Yes.
I'm guaranteeing that one of these years you'll be running this thing, maybe pushing the baby jogger.
I would love to run Boston. It's definitely been a dream of mine. Boston and New York are two that I'd love to run, you know, while I still... I'm able to run. So
where did Honey Badger come from? The nickname that from Brett, that sounds like a Brett Sutton.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've heard the Angry Bird, the Honey Badger. He comes up with some good nicknames, and it just was the way I approached training. There was one session in particular where one of the guys was fooling around, and I was doing a time trial in the pool, and I almost flip turned right on him. And Brett, just after that session, he was like, "You're the Honey Badger," and then he pulled up the video and just was. You know, just in training, he just said I had the mindset where I was completely focused, training and racing, and just didn't give a shit about anything.
Yeah. Right. Is that hard for you if you're working with, as a coach, when you don't see that work ethic, where people are like, oh, I did about 30% of the workout, or is that okay?
I think as a coach, you have to approach it a little differently. Most of my athletes are type A, and they're going to want to do more than I'm giving them. There's a couple that I think have just challenges. I mean, getting sick a lot and dealing with issues with family and jobs. And I think it's less not a thing that they're not motivated and more that they just have so much going on that we just have to balance the workouts with what they can physically do.
Love it. Mary Beth, always a pleasure to catch up. Hope to see you after the little one, seeing you back out at a sprint distance, Olympic distance. No reason to go long.
No.
Love it. Mary Beth Ellis has been our guest. Thanks, Mary Beth.
Thank you.
Again, we are at Highlands Postcards in the Finish Line at the beautiful Boston Marathon. Remember Highlands' motto, stop your cramp, not your race. Brought to you also by Polar, whose motto is chase your destiny. Hold on, everybody. We will be right back.